You're about to listen to Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games. It's a comedy video game podcast. We would like to stress that the hosts are not experts and are really just very crass commentators. Seriously, this is an explicit podcast that happens to talk about video games sometimes. So please enjoy this pretty okay podcast with Tyler and Dave.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two to three old guys play old games.
Keep it 100.
Yeah. This week, by random special request that I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. It's been a while. We are doing Kid Chameleon for the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Had to think. Almost forgot.
Yeah, I noticed.
Well, I just did a quiz, so my mind is jumbled up with a bunch of shit, so I had to remember.
Is that what you were writing, like, literally just, like, 3 seconds before we started?
Yep.
A quiz?
Yep.
Just off the top of your head?
Yep. Well, with access to the God machine, the sum total of human knowledge.
Right. The Bible.
Yep. Yeah.
These are all chameleon-based Bible questions.
But this game came by special request of Barbecue Baron, Drew Rowland, who is here with us today. Sup, Drew?
Hey,
Drew.
Sorry. Thanks for having me back.
Let's all greet each other at the same time.
doctor. No, I figured, like, oh, we had Bailey on for her own episode, so we should probably have Drew on, balance it out.
Sounds fair.
Don't play favorites with Hops and Heroes.
You're making Drew sound like an obligation.
Well, yeah.
We had Bailey on, so we had to have you on, Drew.
We have to, so it's fair.
I had to sit in the other room and listen to her talk to y'all for an hour and a half.
The comments
you
were making.
You are podcast cuckold. Nice.
The comments that you were making in chat were cracking me up. I read them after we recorded. You saying, they're making her laugh.
That's sweet.
She never laughs like that with me.
So Drew, you're of course from the Hops and Heroes podcast.
Yes, I am.
I'm asking you this now because I'm notoriously bad about asking the stuff at the end of the show, because by the time we get to the end of the show, I'm usually like, we're done. I get to go home. So tell me about Hops and Heroes for a second. I'll pretend like I don't already know.
Okay, yeah. So Hops and Heroes is, well, I guess, well, as of yesterday, it was our 1 year anniversary of starting the show.
Congrats.
Thanks. And so, yeah, we just kind of drink 2 beers every week and play some games and just kind of talk about games we're playing. I guess we're a bit more current in the games we are playing usually than y'all show. But last Friday, we put out our last episode, which was actually about board games and like a few that we've recently been trying to start to get into board gaming.
Nice.
And so, yeah, we started talking about, we played Pandemic and Codenames and Forbidden Island. And then we also talked about like games from our youth that we grew up with.
Awesome. Where can they find you? Where can our listeners find you?
So our website, it's hopsandheroes.podbean.com. And then we're also on Twitter and Facebook at Hops and Heroes.
Cool. So that's all you had to say, right? You don't actually have anything to say about Kid Chameleon. So, I mean, is that true?
Because I was finishing up your latest episode today on the way into work. And as I was pulling into my parking space, you guys got to listener questions. And then Drew was like, yeah, Tyler, you normally have questions from Tyler, but you kind of ruined that today, Bailey, by telling him to fuck off. So as soon as I heard that, because in your post, she told me to fuck off. So I made a comment like, oh, fine. I had so many questions, but not now. I typed that, and then Melissa needed to go to the grocery store. So I was like, okay. I went to the grocery store, came back, meaning to like go ahead and put in some questions. It had been 4 hours since you had started recording, so it's like, oh, now it looks like I'm super pissed. They told me to fuck off. And they talked about it on their show. So I messaged Bailey as soon as I heard it, like, it's okay. I'm not really pissed.
Guild drama.
I wish I could get offended still.
No, she was super pleased with that herself, with that post. Like, she was like, I told Tyler to fuck off. She was
just like... Well, I'm your beard host, Tyler, and we got one of them there packages over there.
We do. We have a package that is from, I believe it's from Pinball Archmage, Chris Edler.
Yeah. You want me to open this?
Yeah, take a peek in there.
This thing is going to be super good for you, Drew.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. Tell us what your knee-jerk reactions to all the things that you're totally seeing right now.
So I'm staring at my Skype photo of Dave Moore.
Oh, I just crammed a lot of pizza in my mouth.
You did.
And now I'm drinking LIT, and it is a weird combination of a burp that's just brewing right now that I was trying to get out of the way.
Yeah.
What is LIT?
It's a Long Island iced tea.
Oh, okay. Well, then. I thought it was going to be something more, I don't know, like, just cheap.
I mean, it's pretty cheap mix.
They're pretty cheap. And those were all the rage when I first started college. For some reason, I don't know why, but Long Island iced tea.
I feel like it's a good standard because they don't taste bad.
No, they don't taste bad.
They get you drunk, and they're not very expensive. So
yeah, they don't. I don't know where they get the iced tea from because it doesn't.
It looks like tea because once you put a splash of cola in it, it takes on the same hue as like a glass of sweet tea.
All right, well then, hey, I learned something today.
Me too.
All right, we have a letter.
All right.
Motherfucking turdpog. Turdpog? That's new. Motherfucking tadpog, : The time has come. I've gathered enough interesting items to send another package. Per Tyler's request, a postcard is enclosed. Thank you. Thank you.
Nice.
While at the Alden, Illinois Visitor Center, I also picked up a few travel brochures about the interesting sites around town. Also included are two new flavors of wrap snacks.
Nice!
I hope the taste of Fetty Wap and and Mingus are to your liking. The rest of the box is filled with movie theater Mylars.
Oh, cool.
These are the small signs displayed at the entrance of the theater to direct customers to their particular screen. During high school and college, I worked at the movie theaters. For 6 years, the Mylars were something that we were allowed to take a few after the film finished its run. These Mylars are not from good movies. The good ones are usually gone before I could get to them. These Mylars are leftover, cast off, thrown away movies from the late 90s and early 2000s. I couldn't bring myself to throw them away, so what better way to get rid of them than to send them to you guys? That's fine. We will take your garbage. Do whatever you want with them. Give them away to listeners. Leave them at Pokestops, or you guys can just throw them away for me. Enjoy. Pinball Archmage Chris.
Is it so you can dispose of them guilt-free? I love it. All right, so what's in there? What you got?
Here is a Alton, Illinois, Lincoln Douglas Square postcard.
Nice.
Wish you were here, Chris Edler. Thank you. Love it.
That is
love
a sharp-looking signature.
Yeah. Let's see. Here is
what do you think, Drew, about that signature?
It's beautiful.
Here's a brochure for the Historic Museum of Torture Devices, featuring the darkest chapters of human history.
That's a real thing?
Yep. You will confess. Our unique privately owned collection of torture devices features over 50 exhibits from nearly every corner of the globe. Horrible contraptions like these are ones used to punish, kill, maim, traumatize, terrorize, and force confessions, all in the name of the law. Exhibits include the much dreaded Chinese death cage, the rack, thumb screws, and many more. Group rates available.
Reading that was fair use, by the way.
The Wood Refinery History Museum.
Next time I go, next time I have to go with Nikki to visit my in-laws, they live near Alton. I'm going to go to that torture museum. I am going to that.
Alton's very own gentle giant, the Robert Wadlow Museum, the world's tallest man. How tall was he? 6 months old, he weighed nearly 30 pounds. Due to a pituitary gland disorder, he continued to grow at a fantastic rate. By the time he was 8, he was 6'2". At 18, he was the tallest person in the world when he outgrew the 8'4" Irish giant, who died 60 years earlier.
You know that this this printed material actually makes it so you don't have to go to the museum.
Yep. When he died, he was 8'11" and weighed 439 pounds.
That's a big old man.
Whew. Man, I feel sorry for that guy. Okay. Let's see. And the legend of the Piazza bird. All right, well, I'll put a picture of that on Instagram. Lewis and Clark Tower. Melvin Price Locks and Dam.
Okay.
All right. Wrap snacks. Honey jalapeno Fetty Wap.
Nice. Do you think it's going to make us go blind in one of our eyes?
I hope so. Is he blind in one of his eyes?
Yeah.
I know nothing about this Fetty Wap.
All right, here we go. Here it is. Honey jalapeno Fetty Wap.
That's okay.
Yeah, these are good. They actually just kind of taste like barbecue to me because of that sweet.
A little too sweet for me, but... And here is Migos, sour cream with a dab of ranch.
I'm still getting down on these honey jalapenos. Drew, what do you think about these chips?
They sound delicious.
All right, I got a handful of these sour cream with a dab of ranch. I'm going to cram down in on the jalapeno honey that I just had in my mouth.
I like that better.
Yeah, they taste like sour cream and onion.
Yep. All right, holy shit. There are a lot of these fucking things in here.
Mylars. All right, what we got? Let's go through it.
Holy shit.
Here, I'll tell you what. Pass them over to me, and then...
There are ones that wouldn't unfurl.
I'll hold them up, and then you can proclaim what they are. This is going to be like a 50-minute bit.
It could be. There are a lot of these here. Romeo and Juliet. Pokemon 2000. Shaft. X-Men.
I'm out of them. All right, thanks, Chris.
The Bachelor. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Chicken Run. Tarzan. Dr. Doolittle 2. Whatever it takes. Double Jeopardy. Here on Earth. Another Whatever It Takes. The Bone
Two
Collector.
Whatever It Takes.
Wag the Dog. The Whole Nine Yards. Okay, I like that, actually. Me, Myself, and Irene. Swordfish. Men in Black. Oh, God. Deuce Bigelow.
Big Daddy.
Shanghai Noon. The Beach.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
The Skulls.
Yeah, that's also not a great one.
another Whatever It Takes.
Oh, Road Trip.
Something About Mary.
Green Mile. There you go. Kiss the Girls. Our favorite scary movie. Sleepy Hollow. Instinct. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Mission Impossible 2. Final Destination. My least favorite horror movie ever. What is that? Drowning Mona?
With Danny DeVito, Bette Midler, Nev Campbell, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I've never heard of
that. That's my RPG team right there. Yeah. That's my party of four.
What class is everybody?
Let's see. I guess Jamie Lee Curtis is your tank because she's regular. So
I like Danny DeVito as a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can just see him
like your Taru tank.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking like a dwarf.
I guess Nev Campbell, I'd say I think Bette Midler's your bard. Nev Campbell's a black mage. Jamie Lee Curtis is your warrior, and Danny DeVito is your paladin, your tank.
Danny DeVito's your paladin?
Yeah. Yeah. He has his own wonderful love.
Paladin of what?
Comedy.
Comedy? So we've essentially assembled a Ford Bard team.
Yeah.
Done.
Frequency, Scream 3, American Beauty. Nice. Okay, that I might actually put up. My Dog Skip. Keeping the Faith, Return to Me, Shrek, Air Force One, Out to Sea, and Snow Day.
All right.
I'm going to blow up Instagram with one of those every day.
Well, you've already got them spread out on your bed. As you were reading them, you were throwing them on your bed. I think you should just lie naked on them. I say that about postcards. I say that about movie Mylars. I say that about a lot of things.
I'm just going to leave these here with no explanation, just see how Melissa reacts. Yeah.
There's more.
That Pokemon 2000. I saw that. That's like the only one of these I saw in the theater.
I remember seeing Pokemon 2000. I think I might have said this on the show before. I had a girlfriend who pretty much threatened to break up with me for wanting to go see the Pokemon 2000 movie.
Because of the psychic Pokemon? This is a religious girlfriend?
No, she just didn't want to date a nerd.
Joke's on her. You got a podcast with dozens of listeners now.
That's right, baby. These also came in.
Oh,
Tyler.
Postcards.
These are postcards.
Oh, shit.
Here you go. I haven't looked at them yet.
Now it's the motherlode. Here's one from New York. Achievement unlocked. Postcard apocalypse now. Send Tyler and Dave a postcard. For chivalry, Ramon.
Nice. Thanks, Ramon.
From Nashville. Hola from Casa Corn. Hola.
Wouldn't it be great if these were all from Ramon? There's like four or five of them. I think it would be
every
really
city
cool.
Right, yeah. So from Chandra and Paul Korn. Oh, that artist that I was talking about that did all the stuff for Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon's AIDS artist.
Yep, Nickelodeon's AIDS artist. Motherfucking Tadbug, got this postcard because I knew you knew what the fuck the picture was supposed to be. Love, Time Lord. Thank you, Josh Edwards.
Thank you, Josh.
And then here is I imagine it's supposed to be Aphrodite surrounded by naked men.
That's a lot of naked men. Look at that dude's butt. It's just there.
It's just out there.
It's just there.
It's glorious.
Yeah, it's like, man, I wasn't expecting the tan lines, though.
Let's see. Proceeds from this card benefit God's Love We Deliver Incorporated.
What is that?
Having trouble reading. Something, providing for people living with HIV/AIDS and support for those who need it, usually within 24 hours. Pretty neat.
Oh, is this the Nickelodeon's AIDS card?
Nope. Nope. Dear Tadpog, I was going to make a gay joke for this postcard, but fuck it. But fuck
but
being one
fuck
word.
It. Yeah.
Time Lord Josh Edwards.
Nice. Damn, Josh Edwards hitting it hard.
Yeah, I love it. I love these postcards so much.
Yeah.
So much. Keep the gun out of my mouth with these postcards.
It is true. I've talked Tyler down off many a ledge by singing Third Eye Blind and showing him postcards.
Semi-charm kind of life.
Semi-charm life.
Oh, man. All right. That was good.
That was good.
Drew, you have anything? Do you have any packages you want to open and tell us about?
Did you save like a sweet package from Amazon or something? It's got like
I already opened my beer, so I'm already.
What are you drinking?
If you listened to last week's episode, the Lunatic Blonde Wicked Weed Brewing Company.
Okay, that little brewery that you guys really like.
Yeah. It's like a cool brew pub in Asheville, North Carolina. They just always have dozens of beers. Like, they brew in-house, and, like, you can go into a restaurant. Good stuff.
Good deal. Well, you guys hear that?
Yep, I do. It sounds like a bunch of Mylars just, like, rubbing together. Yeah, it's like that. It's like a train with a boxcar full of Mylars. You can't even see all of the... Can't even see all the 1950s hobos in the boxcar due to all the Mylars, which of course ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Okay, guys, Kid Chameleon (parentheses) video game. Kid Chameleon is a 1992 platform game released for the Sega Genesis/Mega Drive. The premise of the game is that the main character, Casey, I'm going to go ahead and put an asterisk right after Casey, can use masks to change into different characters in order to use different abilities. It was later released in Japan as Chameleon Kid, or as it's translated, it says this right on Wikipedia, this isn't me being racist, this is an actual thing on Wikipedia, you can all go and read it right now to prove that I'm not racist. Chameleon Kido. The game is also part of the Sega Genesis collection for the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation Portable. It was released for the Virtual Console in Japan and in North America in 2007. Oh, also Europe. That is pretty much it.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. That's like the brief description of Kid Chameleon on Wikipedia. They get into gameplay and reception and stuff like that. It's a very short Wikipedia entry. Mm-hmm.
So, Drew, why this game?
Yeah, you recommended this one, Drew. Why did you do this?
You spent and your last Tadpog wish on this game. Why?
You should have set the genie free.
I don't know. this was a game, like, so I always had, like, Nintendo and stuff, and then, like, my neighbor down the street, he had a Genesis and all the, like, Genesis games and all that. And this was, like, a game I remembered a lot more fondly than it holds up. So, yeah, I'd like to apologize for that. But the game has, like, a lot of great ideas. It's just, you know, really poorly executed.
Yes.
I do like the concept of this game.
Yeah, I do.
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was it. It was something I haven't touched in 15-plus years. And then I was just like, oh, yeah, this will be a... because. Yeah, I was looking at the list of games. I noticed this wasn't on there, and I see why now.
So the main concept of the game being that you like the idea of transforming into different characters?
Yeah, and I remember, like, the commercials. Yeah, you know, you get the different helmets, and you become different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can become a knight, you can become a samurai, you can become a fucking tank, or fucking Jason Voorhees. You
right.
know, like, they're... There's a lot of good stuff about, you know, a lot of good ideas, but it was just like, I don't know, the platforming's really off.
Slip. Like, it's all like you're on Ice World.
It's a little.
And then there's also an Ice World.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I'll get to that. Yeah. What is it? Super Mario 2, like World 4. Like you're just fucking sliding everywhere.
Without the cool whales that you can jump on their cool spray. So when I first turned this on, there's a ridiculous story that's told to you where there is a new game in the arcade called Wild Thing.
Yes.
I remember Wild and it was pink.
Is it Wild Thing or Wild Side? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
But anyway.
Wild.
Wild. And it is a virtual reality game that is actually making kids disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one person who can figure this out. I don't know, question mark. They don't really say what his plan is. And then they cut to this really cool still shot of what Phil described in the Twitch stream of this game as a kid in a Huey Lewis costume. Leading with his elbow on top of a block with the letter P on it. And it is Kid Chameleon. He's the only one who can save the day.
So what? So tough he can't be beat. So
that's right.
He's a John Travolta style greaser that just jumps into this virtual, because the virtual reality, the boss of the virtual reality game becomes self-aware and starts kidnapping the kids that come into play.
Do you know the boss's name?
It was something punny.
It's very important. It is Heady Metal.
Heady Metal.
That's right.
Heady Metal. I'd like to just point out that this came out in the U.S. first, so that's on us. That's not like a localization issue. That's just a bad joke.
So, Drew, how far, as a kid, how far did you make it, and how far did you make it this last time?
God, no, I never beat it as a kid. It was just always one of those things because it has like a lot of good ideas depending on like there are multiple exits to each level. And so like when as you progress, because there's what is like over 100 levels through the game.
Yeah. There's like 103 levels.
103. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so and like, no password, no save system.
No passwords, no saving. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the levels are relatively short, but yeah, it's God.
I can't imagine beating this in a single sitting.
Really know what you're doing, you do it in like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Is that really what the estimated
playtime
is?
That's what my research said. Yeah. And the instruction book for this game was over 30 pages.
The illustrations in it. Did you read it?
No.
The illustrations in the instruction manual are amazing. They're really, really cool. Like, I say that completely unironically. I'll actually post them in the show notes. They're worth looking at. It's like one of those things where it's like, it makes me miss instruction manuals because of art like this.
Mm. Because each, 10 different masks he can wear for 10 different personas. Each persona has two special moves that cost more diamonds. So like breaking those down took like a lot of the instruction manual.
Yeah. So you collect diamonds and like instead of coins in Mario, you collect diamonds and you use those diamonds to use a special move that each character has, mm-hmm. Which I didn't understand because I didn't read the instruction manual before playing this game. So, like, when I was playing it, I was like, well, I got 99 diamonds. Why am I not getting an extra life? Like, I thought they were like Mario coins. And I'm in my defense, I probably thought they were like Mario coins because this game feels like Kmart Mario.
Yeah.
Actually, in my notes, I have, this feels like a weird DOS adaptation of Super Mario Brothers. When I was playing this on Twitch, I think it was BR Man hopped in the chat and said, this is a real game? This looks like a ROM hack.
If the controls had been as tight as Mario, it would have been okay.
Yeah. No, I still think it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like this was a bad game. It's just a game that I don't ever want to play again.
Yeah. No reason to go back.
It's cool. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that it exists.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I'm giving, like, end of episode talk. I feel like I'm giving, like, final thoughts 20 minutes in.
Did you own this as a kid, or was it a rental?
No. It was a friend of mine, Corey, was the kid down the street. He had a Genesis, and this is what I played it on.
You said Genesis like he had, like, a disease. He had Genesis.
Yeah, he had Genesis. Well, you know, he didn't have as many games as me, because our family did better.
My dad worked a little bit harder than his dad.
We tried harder. Did you ever finish the game? Oh, we already asked you that.
Yeah. Nope. Did not.
I don't think that I could finish this game, even if, I mean, they give you like a lot of continues. I don't think the difficulty, like, is very difficult in the beginning, but I felt like I got to like this city stage, and then all of a sudden things got very, very difficult. Mm. Because it's like buildings were kind of layered on top of me, and it was difficult to see where I was going.
Yeah, it's like they want the platforming to be really precise, but then like you're not really precise because your character slides every fucking where. Controls are just bad. Like,
and nothing will turn me off to a platformer more than it not like. That's the thing about like playing Mario first. Like, so Mario is basically my standard for so many platformers. So if a control is floaty and slippery, it's just like, all right, nope, fuck this.
Exactly. And like what, this came out in 92, like Super Mario World came out in 91.
So
like the fucking gold standard has been set.
Yeah, it's tough. Man, it was hard for me to play this game and like not compare it to Super Mario World, knowing that it came out before. And honestly, like, it was hard to even compare it to, like, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Right, exactly.
Because I feel like this game, I feel like Kid Chameleon felt like a souped-up NES game, is what it felt like to me. Because the sprites are small, like on an NES game. It's very fast. They're, like, the blocks where you get power-ups from are very, like, they're pretty much like bordering on copyright infringement with Super Mario.
Well, like World 1, Stage 1 is like there's a slow enemy crawling towards you, and then there's like a brick, a block, a brick, a block, a brick. Like it's like that first intro is like Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
1-1.
And there's hidden blocks in Kid Chameleon like there is in Mario Brothers. This game felt like they were trying to
straight ripping off, or like because the masks sort of build on frog suit, you know, raccoon suit, tanuki suit, like,
all the transformations,
and
even Kirby, honestly, it kind of builds on that. And I'll be honest, I don't know where the first Kirby for the Game Boy falls in the timeline, but it's definitely they're all kind of in this genre of transformation platformers. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have a favorite mask?
The Jason mask.
Yeah, the Jason mask. I really like turning into the tank, but that one seems super rare.
The undead Nazi tank that shoots skulls.
Skulls. And then like the samurai one.
Red Stealth.
Red Stealth. is what it's named. Yeah.
I like that one as well because you get a weapon.
Yeah, and that's like the most consistent one. But then there's like, in terms of least favorite, there's the fucking knight that doesn't have a sword or a weapon.
No.
Your ability is to
climb. But he can stick to walls.
Yeah, he fucking scales things. I don't understand, like, why is the knight good at climbing? He's in like full plate armor, and it's just like, no, like this, the ninja's not great at climbing. I get that the Nazi tank's not good at climbing. We all know that they're not great. But a knight?
Yeah. I like the, what is it, Micromax. It's where you turn into the tiny fly, and you can stick to walls.
He gets like a wall jump.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I didn't figure that out until later on, and it's like, that's the stage where I swear to you I burned like four continues on, because like I was doing really well until I got Micromax, and I didn't know how to control him. Like, I swear I burned through like 15 lives just trying to figure out what his ability was. Again, I should have read the instruction manual before I played the game.
Yeah, I forgot that's being a modern gaming, you're just kind of used to like, let's just play it, as opposed to sub games of this era where like, you better read the fucking instruction manual.
Yeah. Another worthless mask I thought was the Berserker, which turns you into Rhino from Spider-Man. Which you use to like break through walls, and I read that you can kill enemies with it, but at the same time, like I guess you have to like be running, you have to be at full speed when you hit them to kill them, which is like never. Yeah. I mean, it's just like never, because anytime you hit something or like get hung up on a ledge or something, it completely.
Or if you fucking jump, like jump, it takes you out of the animation, but you're like, that should be more fucking momentum going into that.
Yeah, I agree. Every time I accidentally got the Berserker mask, it was like, oh, fuck, I accidentally got it. Because it's like, it's hard to control what masks you pick up. Because yes. I would like, I'd hit a block, and instead of like in Mario, instead of the power up like growing out of the block on top, it just drops straight down. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to like hit a block and decide, oh, no, I don't want that. It's more like you hit the block and you immediately have it.
Yep.
Eyeclops? Do you guys run into Eyeclops?
No, I didn't get that far this time.
He is like a green and yellow version of Cyclops from the X-Men comics.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess what his ability is?
Jumping really high.
Throws rocks.
All right, those are both good guesses, and both of those would be more valuable than his actual ability, which is he fires a laser beam that reveals hidden blocks.
Does it hurt enemies at all?
Oh, man.
It does not. Unless.
Wow, that's shitty.
Unless the enemy happens to be where the hidden block is when you hit the hidden block with the beam, then it kills the enemy.
Man, it'd be better if you just had that mask and you got to see all hidden blocks on the screen.
I agree. Because
then you
could
access new areas if you had that mask on by jumping from block to block.
Yes.
But no.
I didn't get either of these two, but I read about Sky Cutter, who has a ultra fast anti-gravity hoverboard, which sounds pretty cool, but when I see it in action, it looks a little high octane, a little difficult to control, because it moves on its own accord.
Like the Silver Surfer's propane powered surfboard,
absolutely, or like Adventure Island when you get the skateboard and it's just like, this motherfucker ain't stopping till you hit a rock.
Hell out of Adventure Island.
And then the last one, which I never got, but I hear makes the game super easy, is a mask called Cyclone. Cyclone makes you look like the Flash from DC Comics, but it gives you the ability to just fly. And there are levels in this game that scroll vertically that you can just clear in 3 seconds that would normally take you, 3 minutes to work through. It's the P-Wing of awesome. Kid Chameleon.
Yes.
I'm just like, what else to say about this game now?
Oh, no, this is a tough one to talk about.
Yeah.
This is a really hard one to talk about.
Like, you better fucking step it up then.
I know. Wish left. I feel like this game and like other games, I guess from like Sega platformers, where like it's too zoomed in on the action, or like, you know, trying to show off like the main character.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like, if you're trying to run and platform, you cannot see what's in ahead of you.
Yeah, kind of like in Sonic almost.
Yeah,
right?
Like Sonic. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, Sonic, like, what is it, Rocket Knight Adventures? I feel like that's another one where you can't see.
Sparkster.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they're just, maybe, yeah, wanting to show off the tech and, like, showing how cool we can look, you know, make this kid chameleon look.
All of those games, like Sonic and Rocket Knight and Kid Chameleon as well, like where you're talking about, it's kind of zoomed in on the action. Like, I feel like landscape, like widescreen televisions would have, like, completely changed the platforming genre. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I think it's arguable to say that they did today, but if they had been, like, around, if they'd have come out, like, in the early 90s, I like to think about how different games would be today. Because, yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, Sonic, it's like a Sonic 2 widescreen edition would be amazing.
If they can make it, like, Sonic look like Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
Like how far zoom back. So you can see where and how fast you should move.
Dude, I am so glad you brought up Super Meat Boy because it is in my notes. This game made me want to play Super Meat Boy.
Yes.
And why haven't we done that game?
I don't know. I've never finished Super Meat Boy.
Neither have I. I got to hell and that was it for me. So.
Yeah, that shit is... Ugh.
But like Super Meat Boy is, I guess this game kind of reminded me of Super Meat Boy because of the controls. Because like Super Meat Boy is like the controls are very tight, but they are also, I feel like they're slippery.
You're made of meat. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, you're made of meat. What are you gonna do?
But then like, but with the camera being kind of pulled out, you see where you're going, what's coming up. Yeah, like you have that time to react to where you're going.
Yeah, no, that's super important, I feel like, in platformers, because there are many times I was playing this game and it was like I would just die because I was just going a little too fast.
Yes.
And didn't see the enemy, which I mean, I guess that could be said about Mario, but it like doesn't,
not really though,
it doesn't really feel like, I mean, there are,
well,
few,
if you're going way too fast in Mario, it's like your fault.
Yeah,
so like you're pushing it, like, so it's, I don't know, it's you're trying to play it fast, so you have to like know what you're doing, as opposed to like this, if you're just sort of just playing along, you can easily fuck up.
I agree.
Mario is it's a measured gamble. Oh.
Okay. So that's it for Kid Chameleon. Do we got anything else?
True.
like I said, I'm sorry. The mess I've caused,
dude.
Your show today.
I'm glad that I played it. I'm not gonna lie to you. Right. I'm glad that I played it because like this game was marketed to me so hard when I was a kid reading comics in the 90s. I swear to you, I couldn't read a comic book without running into a Kid Chameleon ad twice.
Yeah, right. Mm. And like that's the thing. I thought it had like, you know, great ideas. Good premise, but, you know, just poorly executed. And maybe somebody someday can, you know.
I could see as a kid with a lot of, like, time during the summer, like, where you could, like, if you really got into this game and sat down and, like, knew what, like, mask and how many diamonds each move cost and what mapping, you know, knowing what levels were coming up next, like, there's a lot of depth to the game.
There's potential there for sure.
There is, yeah. It's almost sad the amount of potential that it has with its premise, and it just doesn't follow through. Like the team that made the story and the concept were just way better than the coders. So
there's also not a whole lot of I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of internal logic to it either, because a lot of the enemies, like, let's take the gold standard that we've talked about. Let's talk about Mario, where it's like you have green Koopas and red Koopas, and it's like they each act in different ways. And then like the brown Goombas and the gray Goombas, they act in different ways. And you kind of like build this internal logic where it's like you can strategize. You can be like, okay, well, those Goombas are brown, so they're just going to walk off the ledge. So I don't have to worry about, like, I can just jump over them and I don't have to worry about them turning on their heels and coming back at me. I didn't feel like there was any of that consistency in this game because the enemies are very different in every stage. Like, which I guess could be viewed as a good thing. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of variety as far as the enemy goes. Mm-hmm. There aren't like a lot of palette swaps or anything like that. But it's also really tough because it's like, well, I ran into these boulders that are shaped like King Kong's head in the first stage, and I never see him again. So I don't know how to like I don't know how to fight each enemy. I don't know what their moveset is.
Yeah, God, yeah, if the game was just better, it would have been nice to have had this many levels and yeah, shit like but, that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because by the time you see an enemy, they're fucking on you, and it's too late. Especially if like you're running. Like, there's the little rock monsters that you don't know whether or not they're going to spit rocks at you.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's no tell.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's just a matter of, like, memorizing. Okay, well, this thing, I've run into this thing before, and it burned through three of my lives, so I need to make sure that I memorize its tactics. There's a hit point system. We didn't really talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is cool. Like, each character that you become from wearing a mask alters your hit points, mm-hmm. your kid hit points. Because you start out as young Huey Lewis, you have 2 hit points. meanwhile, like Steel Runner, the knight, you have, I think, like 5. And then, like, there's a range in between there.
See, that's an interesting amount of depth.
That is a cool concept. That's a cool mechanic.
But
this is how I'd sum up Kid Chameleon.
Putting lipstick on a horse.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would sum it up as a game that every 15 minutes I looked at the clock to see how long I'd been playing.
Ooh. Oof.
That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Clocking in a day at work.
Yeah, it really, yeah. It's like just waiting for 5 to roll around. Because there are some, I mean, there's a lot of games where it's just like I lose myself in the game. And this wasn't one of them. This was definitely a clock checker.
Mm. Oh, do you guys have any achievements?
I have a few achievements. Okay. Drew, how about you? Do you have any achievements?
I'll see if I can come up with one.
All right. Here is my first achievement. It's called Mario Ain't Got Shit on Me. And in order to unlock Mario Ain't Got Shit on Me, you have to jump over the flag at the end of any of the stages in the game. Because like Mario, like Super Mario Brothers 1, there is a flag at the end of every level. And in order to complete the level, you need to touch the flag. In this game, you can very easily jump over the flagpole. A thing that I was told many, many, many times as a kid that you could do in Super Mario Brothers 1.
Mm-hmm. Or told you could, you didn't want to, though, because it would mess everything up.
Right, yeah, your game would catch on fire.
Yep.
Right, yeah. I have my second achievement is called Death of a Happy Mask Salesman. And in order to unlock Death of a Happy Mask Salesman, in a single game, you need to collect all of the character masks.
That's a good one. That's a very good one.
That was just my achievement. It was called The Mask.
Cuban Pete. I have another achievement called Sit and Spin. And in order to unlock Sit and Spin, it unlocks immediately when you die by jumping on a block that contains a surprise drill. The thing that probably killed me the most, it's just a trap block where you land on it and then a drill comes out. So Sit and Spin. And then I have a fourth achievement, which doesn't make sense now.
Perfect.
Because the name of the arcade game that you're entering, the game inside the game, is called Wild Side. I thought it was Wild Thing, so I came up with this achievement called Tone, Let Me Tell You One Thing. and in order to unlock Tone, let me tell
noise.
You one thing.
Noise.
That unlocks the moment you enter the Wild Thing, which is actually the Wild Side. So it all falls apart at the end. I listened to a lot of Tone Look today, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel now listening to Funky Cold Medina. Because it's like, I feel like you could play that song like over just clips from the Cosby Show, and it takes on this like entirely different message.
Or if you play scenes from the Cosby Show over the Summer Overture Requiem for a Dream, Bill Cosby making his sleepy barbecue sauce in that one episode. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. I thought you were gonna say play it over Guile's theme song.
That's also good. I've got two.
What you got?
The first one being Grease Lightning, or okay. Grease Lightning.
Yeah,
that is where you finish a level just as Huey Lewis.
Nice. All right, that's tough, man. Because his only special ability is like to randomly flip up onto blocks. I never knew how I was controlling that, but every now and then I would like just barely miss a jump and he'd do this little flip and land up on the block.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Hmm. The other one being the Black Knight, and that is while you're wearing the night mask, lose all 5 hit points from an enemy running into you, trying to pass you, and you can't live. It's just going to get by.
Drew, I know that I took your, took your sweet Jim Carrey achievement. Do you have anything you want to workshop?
Yeah, I got one more, which is I am El Nino, which is Spanish for the Nino, which is get the cyclone mask.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I need to get my asking character. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
That felt so much better. I have a few questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which is, if you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would it be?
I would have to give it Waluigi's mustache.
Waluigi's mustache.
Oh, he's the good one.
Why Waluigi's mustache, Tyler?
Because he's sort of a ripoff that no one in America quite gets.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
People in Japan enjoy him, but not so much here.
All right. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would have to give this... I think he has a magnifying glass at some point. But I guess the map making jeweler spec of Tingle from The Legend of Zelda.
The what? Say that again?
I imagine he has something he makes maps with.
I see. All right. Quit making that quiz cut in on your glasses time.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
uh-huh.
I got it.
Normally I'm better at improv, but yeah. Tingle got in my craw and just stuck.
I have another question for you, Tyler. That Drew, this is also for you playing at home. I want to know how much this game is on Amazon. If you were to buy it right now, used on Amazon, how much do you think that you would pay for it?
$21.
$21 from Tyler. Drew, what do you think, man?
I'm going to go with $8.49, Bob.
$8.49. Locked in actual value of Kid Chameleon for the Sega Genesis used on Amazon at the time of this recording is
$11.95.
Okay. Yes.
Drew handily takes that.
So my question
Fuck off, Drew.
And Skype call.
Oh, sorry, we lost you. My follow-up question to that is, do you feel like Kid Chameleon is worth $11.95?
No, I feel like it's the $0 I paid when I downloaded it off of Pirate Bay.
Mr. Bay, when you borrowed it from Mr. Bay.
Sorry. Allegedly.
Or Mr. Bay's his father. His first name's P-I-Rate.
Tyler, what do you think? Would you pay $11.95 for this game? I would not either. Yeah. I wouldn't either.
If it was like from the $2.99 Genesis Collection on Steam or something like that, okay, sure. Play that, check it out with a bunch of other games,
but not for that. It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's worth stressing. In my opinion, it's worth checking out. And it's like, I feel like I feel kind of like a part of my childhood is validated now, where I looked at those ads and I was like, eh, this looks dumb.
So it's worth making a devil's pact with, or a Faustian bargain with Mr. Bay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go. I got a quiz for you guys.
You have a quiz.
I do.
Is this a chameleon quiz or a kid quiz?
This is a kid quiz.
All right.
Because I talked about making this before,
yeah,
and I was like, I could knock this together pretty quickly. So I did.
All right. Well, I have cobbled together a quiz, so I might...
Let's do both of them.
I might give you a counter quiz.
I think we should. Okay. The first one. This may be difficult. I don't know. So I think there are two of you. All right. So number one on the kid quiz. Let me try and burp. It's weird. Alcohol and pepperoni grease burn.
Kids bop. The answer to all the questions.
I knew you looked.
Yeah. Knocked it out.
This kid is the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
No. I have no idea. Drew, I defer to your expertise.
Once a player in the NBA, now a coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
So his last name is Kidd, I'm assuming, or his first name is Kidd. Is the Milwaukee Bucks real, or is that a fictional team from a movie?
It is a real name. Okay. Real team.
All right.
Can I ask what sport the Milwaukee Bucks are?
The NBA. That's the National Basketball Association.
No, I'm aware of that. Hey, but is that a new fucking team?
No, the Bucks been around for a while. They're just not great.
Okay.
Well, so, they're run by a kid.
Milwaukee or Milwaukee.
Yes.
I remember that. Alice Cooper. Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd.
I knew it. Okay, I should have just gone with Mr. Kidd. I feel like that would have
worked. Coach Kidd.
Right. Coach Kidd.
Number two. This kid was created by O. Henry in 1907's The Caballero's Way.
Do you know the answer to this question?
Billy?
I thought of his name and then looked up what he was. So,
Drew, you say Billy the Kid?
Yeah.
That works for me, man. I have no idea.
You can also get a sandwich named this from Hardee's.
The Monster Burger.
Yep.
I was going to say Frisco Kid.
What? Something.
Oh, wait a minute. You're right. I'm wrong. It is the Frisco. The Frisco Kid is another one I didn't put on this quiz. So there's a Frisco Kid. So my bad. My hint led you astray. It's the Cisco Kid.
The Cisco Kid. All right. Okay. Oh, boy. Yikes.
This kid is from a 1965 drama about a Depression-era poker player. The additional hint, there was also a character or a skit in Kids in the Hall where this kid opposed the Toronto Kid.
This is the hardest quiz I've ever done.
It's a very hard kid quiz. Tyler took the kid gloves off when he made this kid quiz.
The baby goat skin gloves.
I don't know. I remember that sketch, but I don't remember the name.
The baseball team from this city is the Reds.
The Cincinnati Kid.
Cincinnati Kid.
All right. Quarter credit, I feel like we got on that, Drew.
This kid is from a hip-hop duo who did comedies in the late 80s and early 90s.
Kid from Kid and Play?
Yep, correct. This kid was a member of Butch Cassidy's Wild Bunch.
Sundance Kid.
Sundance Kid is correct. This kid was a companion to my buddy.
Kid sister.
Kid sister. Kid sister.
I like how this quiz got
it's
easier.
It's the internet. That's why I can't answer as fast.
I'm gonna pause. I'm going to let Drew play instead of showing off.
This kid was the first opponent in the arcade version of Punch-Out.
Go for it, Drew.
What? I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
This kid was the first opponent in the arcade version of Punch-Out.
What? No.
Yes.
First, I don't know.
I honestly don't know either. I have never played the arcade version of Punch-Out.
I've only played it once at Game Galaxy.
And then...
I'm sure it's probably some kind of like ethnic slur. So like most of the opponents are in that game. So I'm going to go with,
Kid
N-bomb. No, no.
Kid N-bomb is going to be my new Steam name. I have no idea.
It is Kid Quick.
kid quick. Okay. No, I had no idea. I feel like that's a thing that I should know, being a co-host on a video game podcast.
Yep.
This kid is a fictional Old West character from the Marvel Universe, seen in Marvel's precursor, Atlas Comics.
Oh, wow. Drew, what do you think?
I'm going to pass.
Oh, shit. Read that question again.
This kid is a fictional Old West character from the Marvel Universe, seen in Marvel's precursor, Atlas Comics.
Fuck, dude. An Old West. I mean...
Can I use Billy the Kid again?
Right, exactly. Billy the Kid's has come to my mind, too. But I feel like maybe they put like a spin on it. Like, Silly the Kid. I don't know.
He's also named after the Native American tribe you see all the white people fighting in all the movies.
Apache kid?
The Apache Kid.
Okay. Yikes.
Emilio Estevez played this kid in Young Guns 1 and 2.
Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid is correct. Yeah,
finally that answer paid off.
And a last question. This kid is played by Sinbad in a movie of the same name.
Sinbad.
First kid.
I love this movie as a kid just because I fucking love Sinbad.
Oh, I love Sinbad too. I loved his comedy special.
I was more of a house guest fan.
Yeah.
Because this was the one.
Phil Hartman. Fantastic.
Who's the guy known for tap dancing?
Tap Man.
He was He was Will's boss in Will and Grace too.
Kid Tap.
The sequel to Will and Grace?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
But he was sort of the Sinbad's character's sidekick in this movie.
No, you're like all the things, like all the hints are just like gaping voids in my pop culture knowledge.
The Cherokee Kid.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Really?
Never heard of that.
Okay, well, this is Patreon.
I do not feel bad for missing that because I've never even heard that.
Jared, that was like a HBO like produced movie.
I want to say it was pretty low budget.
That doesn't fucking count.
It was. I believe it was in the theaters. Let's see.
I don't think it was. Like, I think it was a HBO. Yeah, now that I hear it.
That, of course it counts, so it doesn't matter. Because it's like, I feel like, it's weird, but I feel like if you told me, well, it was a Disney movie produced specifically for the Disney Channel, all of a sudden that means more to me than an HBO-produced movie.
Let's see. It's 1996.
Tyler reads from Wikipedia, Cherokee Kid.
A quest to avenge the death of his parents transform a naive farm boy, Sinbad, into a confident Old West gunslinger. If you remember, have you seen this art?
Yes, I have. I have seen that poster art. Mm-hmm.
Gregory Hines was the tap dancer I was trying to think of.
I see.
Yes.
Just, James Coburn, Gregory Hines, A. Martinez, Ernie Hudson, and Burt Reynolds.
Man, I missed an Ernie Hudson movie.
Sinbad. In the Old West, you had to be hard, real tough, or a little crazy. He was all three.
All right. I have a counter quiz to your quiz.
Yep.
This quiz is harder, and it's just
perfect.
It's just because it's not done and not well researched.
So we have to like guess your questions.
Yeah, please. I have this wonderful quiz.
You give us an answer, we Jeopardy style to come up with the question.
It's called this quiz is called You Come Up With the Quiz. All right. First question. All right, here's what I'm going to do.
What's the premise of this quiz?
This is a chameleon quiz. Okay. There's only four questions. Not a lot of chameleons out there, I found. So here's the deal on this one. Wow. This quiz, I couldn't in a million fucking years do this quiz. I can maybe get one of these correct. So bear that in mind.
Okay.
Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read you a sentence that is very descriptive. Like, this is question one. Chameleon couple from Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, the big heads?
No.
They're frogs, aren't they?
They were frogs or something like that. Okay. That's good. That's a good guess, though.
The geckos?
No. This is very, like, when I read the answer, I was like, I don't fucking remember that. And I watched the shit out of Rocco's Modern Life.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't remember.
Jim and Miranda Lizard.
Stop looking these up.
I didn't.
All right. Okay. Can I help you get there?
Uh-huh.
All right. I now pronounce you blank and blank.
Man and wife chameleon?
All right, think of a shitty movie. So, like, get a shitty
movie. Chuck and Larry?
Ah, okay, so we'll go on from there. I now pronounce you Chuck and Roseanne's boss.
Roseanne's boss? Damn, I don't remember.
Is that the sister?
Larry Chameleon.
No, it's not Larry.
Mr. Chameleon. No, right.
In place of Larry, it's Roseanne, the name of Roseanne's boss.
Jackie?
No.
That's her sister.
Yeah.
Think of a...
Oh, Martin Mull was her boss.
Okay, well, all right, different boss. Right? Or maybe... Think of the factory? No, I now pronounce you Chuck and owner of the diner in Roseanne. That Roseanne worked out.
You say you like a ghost, so Casper.
Casper. I now pronounce you Chuck and Casper from Rocco's Modern Life. Nailed it. Right? We're done. No, it's not right. Maybe I'm a...
Lion?
All right, go with Lion. Lion sounds like the name of Roseanne's boss, the owner of the
Brian?
Diner. No, Larry. not Brian. Not Larry. rhymes with neon.
Leon.
Yeah! All right. Well, yeah. I was looking for Chuck and Leon. Yeah. Drew, I'm going to give that one to you. Right. Congratulations.
I'll take it.
All right. Ready?
All right. I'm writing one down for my school.
I'm hoping. Okay. I'll give this a hint. Welcome to another impossible question. Chameleon fighter. He's a chameleon fighter pilot member of Star Wolf. Tyler, you should know this because we talked about this game. Although when I say you should know this, you should absolutely not fucking know this because this name is not memorable at all.
Man, I know who you're talking about. I can see his fucking portrait. Mm. I'm gonna have to have a hint.
Okay. Yes. You guys want a hint?
Mm-hmm.
rhymes with neon might be actually Chuck's buddy from Rocco's Modern Life.
Leon, you're right.
Leon Powalski.
You know that lizard Jew.
Yeah. I think that's Polish.
Jewish or Polish lizard.
So I hope there's this like really cool continuity where it's like the Rocco's Modern Life and Star Fox universes are actually connected Munch style, where it's like everything that happens in these, now they're a shared universe. So eventually we're going to meet possibly a heifer in an upcoming Star Fox game.
I hope
Wouldn't
so.
It be cool if yep. he was filing an R-Wing? All right.
Can you imagine if Ever from Star Wars actually piloted an R-Wing?
What would it sound like, Tyler?
He would just
sound a little something like this. Oh! Moo!
He would just replace Slippy and get into trouble all the fucking time.
Yeah, I agree.
Bogey on my six.
Or like Slippy's actually relieved. Like Slippy's no longer stressed out. He's just like, finally, someone else to fuck it all up. All right. Next one. This is easy. This one is an easy one.
Okay.
Name this chameleon. Pet chameleon lost in the desert with a Hawaiian shirt.
Rango.
Rango is correct. Last one. Two words. First word, riding. Second word, dirty. Riding dirty. Name this chameleon.
Chameleonaire.
Chameleonaire. Nailed it.
I was waiting for the chameleon from Mega Man X.
I'm sorry. I forgot about that chameleon. Nor do I remember its name.
I don't remember now either. I could remember any other time, but...
I was waiting for...
Well, use a famous chameleon. That's all I knew.
You were waiting for what, Drew?
Chameleon Twist. It was a game on the N64.
Oh, shit, man. My mind is being expanded right now. What kind of game is Chameleon Twist? Is that like a Bop It?
It is similar to Bomberman 64. It's kind of a top-down exploration kind of bullshit game.
Oh, I see. I my mind refused to hear the 64 you said after Bomberman. Because I just heard Bomberman. Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Static.
Redacted. All right. Well, I feel like my quiz was better. I feel like that's safe to say.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You're right.
That's all I got.
Damn. Oh, man.
Go ahead.
I have small aside. So yeah. As I've been talking to you over Skype, there's like the beautiful Dave Skype picture of, I'm assuming you at your wedding or wearing a suit somewhere.
Just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Okay. But right. On the right, it shows ads. And so I never use Skype on my computer. And so all it's been showing is advertisements because Bailey has been shopping for bras recently. And all it is are all these Belk ads of ladies and bras. I can't say. So it's like, oh, free shipping. Spend $99 or more. And it's just like... It's all ladies with like really small breasts, and so that's not good.
Nope.
You know what, man? You brought that up, and I'm glad that you did, because I made the mistake of searching for a Halloween costume for Henry on Amazon, and now all that I get when I like all the ads I get are like the most like creepiest, most pedophilic images of girls in Halloween costumes, where it's just like, I look at these and I'm like, how is this legal? Because they're all like 5-year-old girls who are all like done up like pageant style. Uh-huh, and like, and it's like, they're in, I'm not joking, they're in like sexy witch costume. It's like, it's like the Halloween costume people, like the factory, like they pulled the switch. There's a lever in the factory from like normal and sexy. And like they pulled
normal
it down.
Normal to JonBenet.
Yeah. They pulled it down to JonBenet and then it fucking broke off. And it's like the factory just makes sexy costumes now. It doesn't matter what size. As they come off the line, they're like, is this for a toddler or just a 2-foot-tall woman?
Well, because Halloween is bar none, Melissa's favorite holiday. So she's about getting all the girls' costumes.
Good holiday.
Yep. So we're all in the living room. I've got my computer hooked up to the big screen TV in the living room. That's what we do everything on, Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, whatever. So we're on that. Everyone's looking at Halloween costumes. So she pulls up Amazon, kids Halloween costumes. And yeah, you get the sexy women or the strange costume, some kids costume. And as we're scrolling through with a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old, there are two costumes out of the blue that come up, which is one, a dickhead costume. It's just a guy in a suit with a dick mask.
Link in the show notes if anybody wants to buy that for a last minute Halloween purchase.
And the second one, which was blurred out, was a vagina mask.
I'm fucking terrified that Nikki's like going to use the computer and like confront me and be like, what have you been searching for? Why are these images showing
what
up?
What are you doing with our son?
Right.
So, Tyler, I just sent you several like pictures of my desktop screen, which actually, when I look at it now, it looks like Dave is just staring at the ladies from the belt set.
It does.
That's how I do. It does. I don't care how large their breasts are. I'm going to look.
Yeah, because in the picture, Dave looks mildly surprised, maybe. Look you up at the Belk ad for...
Yeah, I know. I love that. No, that's good. We need to include that. But before we include that in the show notes, A, we need Drew's permission, and B, I need to draw glasses on myself because I do not have glasses on in that photograph.
People wonder what they're looking at.
I know.
You have my permission to draw glasses on your face.
Yeah. That was my contacts phase.
I go through that occasionally.
I'm never going back, man. Every time I decide I'm going to do contacts, it's amazing at first because it's like, oh my God, like I can be active, like I can run and like not worry about my glasses, getting all, first of all, falling off my head. Mm-hmm. Second of all, getting just like patinaed with sweat. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if you wear glasses and you work out wearing those glasses for a long time, they like develop this like sweat wax that just like, you have to like clean your fucking glasses. You have to be like very particular about it.
I have no idea what that is.
No, really? That's just me? That's just my gross skin.
No, I'm just saying,
only you sweat baking grease in your glasses.
Right? Yeah, that's where I keep it. So
no, I don't work out.
Man, like I don't recommend it. It fucking sucks.
But I'll get you some Horace Grant strap-on goggle glasses.
Yeah, please. When you eat as many wrap snacks as I do, you have to work out. That's literally the only option. So having contacts, like, it's always amazing at first, but then it's like the first time I fall asleep in them, it is like hell on earth. It's like a portal with like demons coming out of my eyes, because it's just like, why did I do this to myself? And I open my eyes and I look like Gambit from the X-Men cartoon. But not in a sexy way.
You're wearing a long black trench coat and pink body armor.
How did I get here? I can't get rid of these cards. If I were Gambit, I would be like, you know that episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets a handgun? Like, that's how I'd be with everything. I'd be like, time to turn the microwave on. I just throw a card at the microwave and explode it.
You just throw the card into, like, the microwavable dinner.
Yeah, there we go. Done. Kinetic fish sticks.
Well, we're about time after that.
Good, man. We, like, okay, here's what's weird about this episode. The first part sucked.
Sorry, once again.
Not your fault, Drew. Not your fault. Once we all started, like, not giving a shit about, like, mm-hmm. pretending to do a video game podcast, I feel like this spun itself into something really cool.
So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. So I missed the next episode. We're going back to the Genesis list.
We are going back to the Genesis list. Tyler, I have a quiz for you. And it's called, What Game is Next on Digital Trends Top 25 Genesis Games?
Walk me through it.
Would you like a hint?
Yeah.
All right. There is, here's your hint. Double F. SNK.
Taryn Landon's bra size? Double F?
Double F.
Okay. Fatal Fury.
Fatal Fury.
Okay.
That's right. That's next. Okay. Are you excited?
That's not bad. That should be a good upswing, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Let's keep in mind that Kid Chameleon was not on the list.
That's true.
That was just a special
That's
one
true.
That Drew just, like, branded us with.
If you want to help us out, iTunes, biggest marketplace. Go there. Leave us a 5-star written review. You can also go on Amazon. We've got a shirt. You can buy a shirt if you want. You can leave us a 5-star written review there. Go to the bootleg copy. Give them whatever you think they deserve.
Right, which might be a one design. Star. Might be a one star.
Might be.
If you've bought a shirt from us, thank you.
Yes.
Seriously, we've sold more of those than we
Way
ever expected
more
to.
Than we expected.
So that's fucking amazing. And the photographs that everybody is sending us of you wearing your shirt, your Tadpog shirt, is really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. So thank you very much.
More photos of Dave looking at bras.
Yeah. Oh, Drew, are you sending Tyler a series?
Yeah, he has like a stream of them. Yeah. It's different ladies and different bras. Actually, this one finally, yeah, has some bigger breasts, which is nice.
It's so, okay to say what you feel here.
So you're okay. A breast man, Drew. Strongly. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Strongly. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
D's are GTFO.
Nice. Let's see, what else? Oh, we're on various forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter.
Yep.
So if you've got a game you want us to play, guest host for an episode, or Patreon request, just get in touch with us. And whatever you do, whatever you ask of us, we will get to that
eventually. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about Fatal Fury. I hope you enjoyed half an episode's worth of Oops All Goofs. This is actually, we snuck a pilot in on you. If you like the last half of the show, let us know. We'll switch the show completely to that. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook or at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Let us know what you thought about Kid Chameleon. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Like, there has got to be diehard Kid Chameleon fans out there. And we will hear from you on Facebook.
Drew was one until he played it again.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe that's more a challenge than it is a request. Like, if you loved Kid Chameleon, play it again. And then let us know what you think. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you, everybody, very much for retweeting us. It really helps spread the word. We do have a Twitch channel. I mentioned that earlier. If you, hey, did you enjoy this episode? If you did, you can give us money if you want to on Patreon.com. I don't know why I just went completely from Twitch to Patreon just like that, just like I'm a ghost, just floating in the ether. I'm just possessing whatever I want to. All right, let me go back to Twitch for a moment. there's no way I can backpedal from that. You can find us on Twitch. Just search for Tadpog. There's me playing stuff. There's actually us playing D&D. I finally got the volume normalized a little bit. And if you want to check out our third session, that's on Twitch. Now, okay, next segment, Patreon. if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to give us
money.
Thanks
for sticking through.
Yeah, yeah. Please, thank you. Please and thank you. You can donate if you'd like to at patreon.com/tadpog. And I'd like to take a moment to thank a few people who have recently donated. I'd like to thank Brett Miller for upping his donation. I would like to thank Micah Perdue, a.k.a. Exalted Lord Micah Perdue, for upping his pledge. Thank you both very much. And that's all that I have for right now. So, guys, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
You can mail us things if you want to. Yeah. If you want to mail us postcards.
Please.
Or any of your movie Mylars.
Anything you just need to throw away.
Salsa. Yeah. Send us your trash. Send us your trash at...
Tadpog Studios, care of Nicole Nance, P.O. Box 3785, Paducah, Kentucky, 42002.
All right.
We also have an Instagram.
Yep.
I'm still posting more of Treasure Goblin, Mike Lanham's package. Now I've got all these Mylars and wrap snacks and more postcards.
Dude, you have enough Mylars like to last you through 2017.
Yep.
If you were to just take a photograph of one of those a day.
Or just take a picture of that big mess in the bed. Do it all in one shot.
I think you should make a suit out of all these Mylars. Ooh. You should sew these all together.
Mylar Man.
Yes. Mylar. That sounds like a movie featuring Sinbad.
Let's see. So that's tadpog_podcast on Instagram. Let's see. Drew, you want to plug Hops and Heroes one more time?
Yeah. Hopsandheroes.podbean.com is our website. Yeah, we're on Facebook and Twitter. And then hopefully this week we'll be recording an episode about horror games.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're playing Resident Evil and then Outlast.
Oh, man. Nice.
Yeah.
Outlast got too spoopy for me. I never finished Outlast.
I may play it like, you know, in the middle of the afternoon and not at night.
Yeah, that's because like, you know how I do horror, man. Like I strap in at like after sundown with the lights off and headset on with the gamma turned like as low as I can possibly do it.
Well, see, I enjoyed Outlast. It's pretty fucking intense and I enjoyed it, but there was a point where I'm in the flooded basement trying to get the power back on, and no matter what I do, it is too dark for me to figure out what the fuck is going on, and I die every time. So I cannot make it past that point, because no matter like what TV I play it on, I try to turn it out so I can turn it up so I can make out something.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it'll look different between like playing it on my TV, playing it on my laptop. Right. Like I can't find the happy medium to get any further in that game.
Did you run out of battery on your camera? Because I know that's how you get through a lot of the dark segments.
Yeah,
you
I probably
use the
should
night
do
vision
that.
On your camera.
Yeah, because I could hear like whoever the guy is that stays down there fucking stalking me. Yeah, I probably need to use the camera more. But game's also pretty fucking hard.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it.
Drew, what's our theme song?
It is Moves.
Who's that by?
Sycamore Drive.
Where can a link to that track be found?
In the show notes at tadpog.com.
Yeah, it's been nailed a while since I've done that.
I know.
Drew, how you want to close this out?
As a famous chameleon?
We get to choose our own?
Yeah.
All right. Everyone got theirs?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I'm working on it.
Because my first thought was chameleonaire, but it's like, nope, can't do that.
No, you're fine.
I don't remember what he said.
No, you're fine. It's no big deal. Just no, do, yeah, just do, just a basic chameleon air voice. Yeah,
no, just do a black person. Just do that's, just the most stereotypical thing you can do, yeah, Tom. Just make it, just yeah, crank it to 11.
Yeah.
Fine.
No, it's all good. Drew and I will actually stay quiet while you do
it's
it.
It's not like you just said M-bomb earlier, so go ahead and just roll the dice on this.
Let's be fair. You said kid M-bomb, which takes a lot of the edge off of it.
Okay. So until next time.
Hey!
Capricorn!
That's a chameleon I made up. His name is Bran.
I was just a regular chameleon. Drew, what were you?
A Brooklyn chameleon.
Oh, I like Brooklyn chameleon. That's my favorite character on SNL.
Hey, it's me.
Hey! Who ordered the pizza? it's me!
Where am I with your pizza? You can't see me. I blend in with my surroundings in the city. Come get your pizza. Oh, Brooklyn chameleon.
Don't wear plaid around me. My body freaks out.
Yeah, remember that Looney Tunes?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is this when the stinger gets made?
Sometimes.
Or before.
Yeah,
or
it depends.
Okay. I don't know. I figure you should give like Bailey like a good fuck you back.
Hey, Bailey.
See if she actually listens to the end.
Bailey. Hey, Bailey. Fuck you.
Oh, fuck man. You, Bailey. That's a burn.
You. Fuck you.
I can feel the heat
fuck
on that
off.
One. Oh, Jesus.
Fuck off with that. God. Fuck off with that shit, Bailey.
I don't like that.
No, love you. Love you.
I don't like
these are GTFO.
I don't like it when you're like this.
Yeah. Now it sounds like I'm a bad person.
No, you just sound like a man who knows what he likes.